Well, it's good to be back with you again. Every Sabbath is special to me because I'm on a limited basis here, but I'm going to enjoy every moment I can get with you folks. You kind of adopted me into your family, and I do appreciate that. Someone said that there was a birthday, and it's Xavier's birthday. Well, I think we need to sing happy birthday to him if he's here. Okay, well, just tell him we were thinking about him. We almost sang happy birthday to him, so anyway. It's always good to hear about friends getting baptized. What's your friend's name?
Michaela,
okay. Yeah, just be in prayer for her, you know, that this can be a beginning of a new adventure. I know that she's already given her heart to the Lord, but, you know, it's always special when someone just publicly says so. So, Michaela, let me write that down really quick. Okay. Sorry, I need to put your name down there so I remember who she is. Like, who's Michaela? Madison's friend, right? Okay. And just as a heads up, Tom, we're going to try to, I think that closing hymn I can play maybe. I'm not a really good player. I'm not like your sister. She's an excellent pianist. But I like the if we can ever do a natural way. So I'm going to, at the closing when we sing hymn number, I think 294, Power in the Blood, I'm going to play that. But you have to sing loud so it kind of covers up everything. So anyway, but... Does anybody recall, I know it was last week, and you'll probably put everything out of your mind, what was the title of the lesson study for the adult quarterly anyway? You can cheat. Go ahead and look if you've got your quarterly with you. Unlimited power possibilities, yes. In fact, someone even said that today during Sabbath school, so it's obviously it's still in people's minds. How many here like unlimited? I think most of us do, don't we? Now, when it comes to pain, I don't want unlimited that, but the good stuff. I like the unlimited good stuff. What does unlimited mean? Well, it means this. Not limited, that makes sense, or restricted in terms of number, quantity, or extent. And so we're going to talk about unlimited possibilities today. You know, I believe that by God's grace, we should live unlimited lives. Did you know that? We could do that. That's the way God created us. But like I said, we all like unlimited. How many here have unlimited data plans on your phones? We eventually went to that. I've got four kids, you know, and so we every once in a while, we got one child in particular. Now he's a young adult, but he would use his plan and then some, especially when he traveled. And so we were forced to do unlimited. But I like that. It actually was quite a blessing, so now we don't have to worry. How about the all-you-can-eat unlimited buffets? Anybody like those things of the past? Right? We don't have those anymore. I don't think they're really closing buffets down, but there's this never-ending pasta bowl. Anybody know what restaurant that's famous from? Olive Garden. My wife loves Olive Garden, and there are probably a few here. But Ryan's Steakhouse is where I first became familiar with the unlimited all-you-can-eat. You know, I had, like, bars everywhere, and it was exciting. When I went in there, it was like, wow, you know. How about unlimited credit cards? I want to ask if any of you got one of those. I looked that up. I thought, surely somebody's got one of those. The closest thing I could find was unlimited cash back. You know, I said unlimited card, but then when you look at the details, it means that you get unlimited money back. You know, we always like to look for unlimited. We like things that can go fast, you can do more. I remember when I was starting in the ministry, I went to this field school-like thing out in California, and it was about evangelism. And then early in the morning, I was out doing my thing, jogging, and it was still dark around the hotel, so I figured out a path, you know, a trail around, and then all of a sudden, this guy whips around, and I was like, you know, who's this? And he comes by, and he stops. He was one of the attendees at the seminar, and I thought, wow, this guy is fast. And come to find out, this young man, he's one of the very few that broke the four-minute mile while he was in high school. You know, very few have done it in high school. He was like 340, 50, something like that. I thought, wow, I'm in the presence of a fast man. Unlimited, it seems like. He had the ability to run. And so every once in a while, we try to keep in contact. But I like unlimited. And so does God. God loves unlimited. But sometimes we live in him, don't we? Just by the way we think, even. Don't do that. Let's open the box up and let God allow us to live unlimited lives. Philippians 4:3 is a text that comes to mind. It's very short. Philippians 4:3. I can do, what's the next word? Not some, all things through who? Christ who strengthens me. So how much can we do with God's help? All things. So whatever you're facing in life, if you have God as part of your life, guess what? You don't have to worry. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So is there a challenge that you're facing? Maybe some opportunity that you're not sure if you're going to be able to accomplish it? God can help you. What about temptations? Can God help us with those? Now, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I think all of us have been tempted, right? We've had trials. We've had issues. There is a text that I want you to remember, and it's from 1 Corinthians 10:13. If you open your Bibles there, 1 Corinthians 10:13, and it gives us a promise about temptation. This one's, you know, we were talking about all. This one's got a word in there, no. There has no temptation taken you, but is also common to others. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So who is faithful in this verse? According to this verse, God is faithful. And we just keep turning to him, and he will help us. You know, if you're facing a temptation, don't worry. Somebody else, maybe 50 years ago, faced that temptation. It says, no, there is nothing new under the sun, basically. You know, Satan's been around a long time, right? And so he's been tempting people. It may look a little different, a package a little differently, but he's always, that's his job, to tempt us, to get us to, you know, not trust in God and to fail him. But God is faithful. Jesus talked about impossibilities. Our impossibilities, and God's ability to do all things. It was an important thought, and so important that it was included in three of the four Gospels, this text I'm about to share with you. Matthew 19:26. If you'll turn in your Bibles there, Matthew 19:26. It's found also in Mark 10:27 and Luke 18:27. Matthew 19, verse 26. Aren't you glad God gave us his word? I mean, there's so many promises, and it just really helps you to raise your sights, you know, raise them to Christ. Matthew 19:26, this is what Jesus said. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Do we have some impossibilities? We do, don't we? With men this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. What was he even talking about there? You know, if you read the story around it, it's called context. We learned that just because you're rich, you don't get to go to heaven. Well, you know, that makes sense, doesn't it? You know, and back then, as we do today somewhat, they thought if you were rich, that was God's blessing, and you had a sure ticket to heaven. You know, that's not the way it works, though. And so he says, you know what? It's going to be really difficult for rich people to go to heaven. And why do you suppose that is? Some rich people end up trusting in their riches instead of God. We can do that with anything in life. It just happened to be he was talking about riches at that point. Is God against riches? No. In fact, some of the wealthiest men, Solomon, and in the Bible, you read about several of them. They were wealthy, but they gave glory to God. They kept their eyes focused on him. And so when he said, you know what, it's going to be really hard for those guys to get to heaven, all the disciples are like, what? You know, then who could make it? None of us are going to make it. If the wealthy guy can't make it, surely we can't make it. And that's why he said, with God, all things are possible. How much is possible with God? All things. Remember that, all things. Whenever you're in a tight spot, think, you know what? Jesus said, all things are possible. Malachi 3, verse 10. Malachi 3, verse 10 talks about God pouring out his blessing on us. I know some people use this text as a way to encourage you to be more faithful in your tithes and offerings, but that's not the overall view to me. It's the end part of it. Malachi 3, verse 10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, we would say church today, that there may be meat or food in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Let me ask you a question. Does God want us to prove him? He does. He says, challenge me. Go ahead. I dare you. Challenge me. If I will not open the windows of heaven. Now stop there for a moment. How big are God's windows in heaven, do you suppose? I used to subcontract in Dayton, Tennessee. And I was in one of the buildings. It was a beautiful place. It was gorgeous. But they had big windows. And I moved to scaffolding, and I didn't realize it was a board on top. When we're still building this place, and guess what it did? It broke that huge window. Oh, my heart sank, man. I didn't realize. Oh, that was. And then my boss was going to try to charge me for that huge window, which would have been probably a whole month's worth of paychecks. But fortunately, the person that owned it, he took pity on me. He said, "I've got insurance. Don't worry. You know, windows, they're great if you don't break them, right?" You know, but they're huge in heaven. They're huge. That's where I'm going with this. They're huge. And so it says, if I will not open the windows of heaven. Can you imagine? Can you picture God there just opening up those windows like, are you ready for this? And then he says, I will pour you out so much of a blessing that you're not going to even have room enough to receive it. Now, I have not quite gotten to that point where I say, Lord, stop. You know, it's too much. You know, maybe that's probably because of me. But God is wanting and he's willing to give us so many blessings in life. And it's not just monetarily. It's all kinds of blessings in our heart and our lives. He wants to pour them out on us so that we will have to say, Lord, stop. I can't take it all. In fact, what we should do if he pours us out such a blessing, we don't have room enough to receive it. Then comes into play the text, my cup runneth over. And blessing to others. That's the way that God wants to bless us so much. We've got to share it. We've got to share it with others. Do you remember Mary, the mother of Jesus? Before she became pregnant, she had a visitor. You remember that story in Luke chapter 1? Luke chapter 1. Mary, who was a faithful follower of Jesus, and she had heard the stories about the Messiah to come. And she didn't know it until that very moment that she was the chosen one. And the angel told her, you know what? If you allow it, the Holy Spirit will come over you. You're going to become pregnant with the Messiah child. Now, there was a question that was burning in her mind. In Luke 1:34, you know, and it's an obvious question. She says, how can these things be since I don't know a man? She wasn't even married. How can she be pregnant? You know, that's just an impossibility. And so what was the angel's response in Luke 1:37? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Isn't that our text for today? By the way, does Jesus want to be in our hearts and lives as much so and more as he was born into Mary, you might say? We need to have Christ dwelling within, that hope of glory. Then Mary gave him the permission, and she became pregnant, and she had the Christ child, and well, the rest is history here in the Bible. What do we do when we're facing challenges, with impossibilities? Well, take it to the Lord. You remember the children of Israel? God had called them out of Egypt, and he brought them to the Red Sea, and if you look at the topography and where they were located, there were mountains on either side, the sea in front of them. They never had walked on water. You know that story hadn't happened in the New Testament yet. So they knew they couldn't cross over. That was impossible. And who was behind them? The Egyptian soldiers, lots of them, they were chasing them down to bring them back to Egypt. You know, the Pharaoh had gone crazy. He seemed like he would have learned that God was in control, but he didn't. And so with the army behind them, the water in front of them, they're surrounded by mountains, do you think they were worried? If you read the story of the children of Israel, they were always worried, it seemed like. Always like, oh, how's that going to happen? Always moaning and groaning, it seemed like. But yet God still put up with them. And so, Exodus 14, 13, if you'll turn there, this is the text I want to focus on. And this story, when there was an impossibility, there was no way out, it seemed. What did Moses tell the people? Inspired by God, he said this. And Moses said to the people, fear ye not. Don't be afraid, in other words, right? Why? What should you do? Stand still. Well, they had to stand still, but I think there was a deeper meaning here, like wait. Wait to see what God's going to do. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. Not tomorrow, today they needed it. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see them no more ever again. Did that happen? It did, didn't it? I mean, the waters parted. They went through on the dry land. The Egyptians did not. Only the Israelites did. And then the Egyptians were like, hey, look, there's a trail. Let's follow. And then what happened? The water came crushing down on them, destroyed every one of them. And then Moses' sister had a song of praise, and everybody was excited. But there's a small part here which is really hard for us to do today. It must have been hard back then. It said, stand still. You know, when we face problems, our mind starts racing, right? It's like, oh, what am I going to do? You know, I got to figure this out. And wait a minute, who's in charge? God is. Don't worry. God's in charge. Calmly wait for God to have the answer. You know, God gives us a mind to figure things out, but we should go to him first, right? Let him lead and guide. You know, being still is really hard in our age, in our society. Even back then, Psalm 46, verse 10 says this, be still, stop, right? Be still and know that I am God. You know, we've got phones that keep us busy all the time. Ding in the middle of the night. Oh, someone's texting, or you know, you got to text back, or messaging this, and the phone seems to be the big issue that keeps us distracted, but there are other things that distract us, that keeps us from being still. You know, it's really, when you sit down and be still, you think, oh, I got to be doing something. But God says, wait, be still. Let me have a chance to work on your heart. Too often when we pray, we're like, okay, Lord, here's my list, and then we move on. We haven't been still for a moment. We've given God our to-do list, you know, for him to do. But yet we need to be still. And that's really hard for our society. We're always in action. You look at the kids' programs in schools, at least it used to be until COVID hit. You know, running here with this game and doing that with this other thing. And it's really hard to be still. But maybe we need to ask God to help us to have that still spirit. Say, Lord, help me to slow down. Just be empty my mind, not in the bad way, but empty my mind of the worldly things. Help me to be still. There's another story that really shows me that with God all things are possible. That's the one with Elisha and his servant. Now, Elisha did about twice as many miracles as Elijah. Remember, Elisha took Elijah's place, and then there was a double portion given to him? Well, some have counted it out, and they said Elisha actually did about double, at least according to what was in the Bible, double the miracles. Well, one of these miracles was when they were in a city, and another king who hated him was searching for him, and they found out he was in Dothan. And so he sent his huge army, surrounded him. And early in the morning, Elisha's servant went out, looked out, and saw the enemy. What do you think he thought? Oh, God's going to work miraculous things today. No, he was like, Now, I'm not sure if it's the same one, but this is the servant. There was a servant of Elisha's that ended up with leprosy because he didn't focus on God. He focused on himself. But we're not going to go there. I'm not going to get too distracted with that. I am going to think about this story where they were surrounded by the enemy. And so he goes back to Elisha. He says, oh, what are we going to do, master? We're surrounded. What did Elisha say? In 2 Kings 6:16. Please turn there. 2 Kings 6, verse 16. Just read the whole story. It's just amazing how God works. Fear not. If you ever want to do an interesting study in the Bible, study fear not. Or take just fear. We are full of fear. We've always been full of fear, almost just right after creation, it seems. But he said to him, fear not. For they that are with us are more than they that are with them. Elisha's servant was not impressed. He still saw the physical. It's like, okay, I see two of us here, you know, and a lot of them there. You know, how is this possible? So what did Elisha do? He prayed. He said, Lord, open this man's eyes. By the way, that story, if you look at the prayer that Elisha gave, several of them, one's about opening eyes, closing eyes, opening eyes. It's just an amazing story. I like the little details in these stories. He says, open his eyes. And so on the mountains around, chariots of fire. I mean, there were angels everywhere, way outnumbering the puny little army that thought that they were going to get Elisha finally at last. By the way, the story turns out well. The enemies became friends, all because of food. You know how a way to a man's heart is through his stomach. They fed him. And then that was it. But anyway, we don't have to worry when we're surrounded by impossibilities, problems. Why? Because God has it covered. Sometimes we need to pray, Lord, open my eyes. I only see the negative here. Where is the positive in this story? Where is the possibility of me coming out on the other side? You know, okay, ask God. 2 Chronicles 32:7-8. Let's turn there. 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, verses 7 and 8. I hope you take these promises, maybe study them later. Maybe you can even write them down. I see some of you are writing them. These are wonderful promises about being able to overcome anything, to have the possibilities of heaven. 2 Chronicles 32, 7 and 8 says, be strong and courageous. Wait a minute, there's that fear word again. Be not what? Afraid. Nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more that are with us than with him. With him is the arm of flesh. Oh, that guy's just got that puny arm of flesh. He's just a weakling. But with us, he says, is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Who fights your battles, if you allow him to? God. Now, he's never lost a battle yet that he has fought. In the end, he wins. Now, you may wonder how sometimes. You know, when you go through some rough patches and things don't turn out the way you think they should, let God continue to fight your battles for you. He will win. Here's another one, Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. You may notice a lot of these texts are really from the Old Testament. Is the Old Testament full of good news? It is. Some people want to do away with the Old Testament. They say, we're a New Testament church. Well, you lost most of your Bible if you're that way. You know, take all the Bible. The Old Testament is just as powerful and happy and, you know, it gives you encouragement as the New Testament. Okay, Deuteronomy 20, verse 1 says this. When you go out to battle against your enemies and you see the horses and chariots and the people, that they're more than you, what's that word again? Be not afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Do we sometimes face enemies that are bigger and stronger than us? We do. If you live long enough, you'll face a battle somewhere. It could be interpersonal. It might be a relationship with a family member or friend. You know, God can help you through that, no matter what you're facing. Numbers 11:23. God asked Moses a question. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? In other words, you think I can't do this? You shall see now whether my word shall come to pass unto you or not. Sometimes we shorten God's hand just by the lack of faith in him, right? They just trust him. Little here and there, guess what? That builds, and you have more and more faith. You know, our faith needs to increase, shouldn't it? And it's not because of us that, well, yeah, I've got this great faith. No, it's because God has helped build that faith in us. All blessings come from him. Job 42:2. Now, if you recall, Job went through a lot of hardship, did he not? Lost his kids, his possessions. The only thing left was a nagging wife and friends that kept telling him he did something wrong. Satan knew who to leave, right? He left the part that was hard for poor Job. But in the end, and I believe Job's wife was, she was going through hardships too. You know, she lost her kids, so I don't blame her. Job 42, verse 2. What does he say to God? He's speaking to God. I know that you can do what? Everything. And that no thought can be withheld from you. You know, even our minds and our thoughts and our hearts, does God understand them? Yes, and even the Bible says, before you call, I will answer. And while you're yet speaking, I will listen to you. God knows everything. He can do everything. He is unlimited. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Isaiah 59, verse 1. I hope these are just, you know, getting you excited about what God can do. Isaiah 59, verse 1. You ever got that tingly feeling, you know, like, wow? You know, that's what you should start getting from these. If you sit down and pray about them, think about them, these things will just excite you to no end. And these are just a few of them. The Bible's full. Isaiah 59, verse 1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. That sounds familiar, doesn't it, when God was speaking with Moses? That it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. You know, when we pray, does God love to listen to us? He does. I just mentioned that one text about him answering even before we call, because he knows what we're thinking. But he loves to listen to us pray to him. Does he know about us, what our thoughts are? Yes, but he still wants us to talk with him. His hand is not shortened. Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. In that same neck of the woods, just the next book over. Jeremiah 32, 17. And 27. Jeremiah 32:17 and 27. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heaven and the earth by your great power and stretched out arm. And there is, what's the next word in your Bible? Should be nothing if you're reading this kind of the similar version. Nothing too hard for you. Verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. There is nothing too hard for me. It's kind of like in response to what he said earlier. There's nothing too hard for God. Romans 4:21. We will look at a text in the New Testament. Romans 4:21. You know, as we're going through all these COVID situations and all the other things, people wonder what's going to happen next. I was talking with somebody a day or two ago. It seems like one thing after another keeps happening. You know, we had a storm go through Indiana. Some people lost power, lost more than that. You know, we got to keep our eyes focused on God. Romans 4:21, and being partially persuaded. What's that? Fully, that's right. We don't want any partials. We want 100%. I'm fully persuaded that what God has promised, he is able to perform. If God promises us something, will he do it? Yes, and he can do it if we allow him to. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do, I love this text, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that works in us. I mean, superlatives going on here. I mean, it's exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even dare to think about. Do you think you have a good imagination? God is much bigger, and he can do what he wants. He can think something, and there it is. I mean, look at the creation story. I mean, we have humpback whales and giraffes and all these interesting animals, plus the sun, moon, and stars and all. That was in God's mind, and he thought it, and guess what? It happened. Surely he can take care of us. Let's see. Let's go to another one. 2 Peter 1:3. We're still in the New Testament, working our way through. 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Does God love to give? He does. You know, we're his children. He loves us, and he wants the best for us, and he'll give us what we need. Don't ever worry or think that God doesn't care. He's there for us, and he can take care of us always. God will help you live an unlimited life. The ultimate unlimited life is called eternal life, is it not? I'm looking forward to that. I don't understand it exactly because, you know, we live life with limits, don't we? You're born, you live, you die. That's just the way it goes, it seems, unless you're somebody like some of those in the Bible, the few that made it to heaven. But we live with limits. But the ultimate is eternal life. You know, God in God's Word often mentions eternal life. Why? He wants you to know there's a better place, there's a better plan, and God wants you to live with him throughout eternity. And it seems hard to believe that he would want me around throughout all eternity, but he does. He wants each of us to live with him. He loves us. He is our Father. We are his children. John 17:3. We'll look at just a few verses on eternal life. John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You want eternal life? It's all about who you know. You ever heard that expression? It truly is. It truly is. We need to know God, not know about him. That's different, right? I know about, you know, I could say JFK. He was long since passed, but I could never say I knew JFK. This know is a personal, close relationship. That's what it means. This is life eternal. If you want life eternal, get to know God. Get to know Jesus. That's the way you get eternal life. It's not about certain things. It's about certain people. It's who you know. So let's focus on eternal life through Jesus Christ. I remember reading this quote, and I heard it, I think, back when I was in high school. It was talking about man's limitlessness. Christian Service is the book it's taken from, page 254. It says, there is no limit to the usefulness of one who, putting self aside, makes room for the working of the Holy Spirit upon his heart and lives a life wholly consecrated to God. You know, even though we are marred by 6,000 years of sin, we can still live unlimited lives with God in our lives. Nothing is impossible. Remember that song by Mr. Clark? Nothing is impossible. Remember that? Now some of you younger ones are like, why, where'd that come from? I don't never heard that song. You know, I'm probably showing my age. But it's a beautiful song. Look it up sometime. But it's by Clark. There are two of them out there. But Clark's is beautiful. By the way, when he was writing this and others, he was debilitated. I mean, he was not in a happy, happy place as you would consider it. He was going through hard times, but yet he could write, nothing is impossible when we put our trust in God. I am thankful that God loves us, aren't you? That he is unlimited. He has windows that are so big, you can't even get a tape ruler across. I've got one of those measuring wheels, and it goes over a mile. I like running, and so I usually mark my trails, or at least know what they are. But this, my measuring wheel will not measure this window. It's so big. God has the answer to whatever you're facing. He wants you to live unlimited lives. And so I hope you take him at his word. Take these promises I've shared with you and say, God, you know, I believe you're right. I trust you. Maybe you've got someone you're praying for. You think, man, I wish God would just break through their lives. You know what? Keep praying. Keep praying that prayer of faith. I'm going to close with a story about George Mueller. Anybody ever heard of him? He had an orphanage. He lived an amazing life. But one of the things that was really amazing about him was his prayer life. So this would maybe encourage you to keep praying for somebody you know. He writes this. In November 1844, You can tell this was a long time ago. I began to pray for the conversion of 5 individuals. Have you ever prayed for the conversion of somebody? I hope so. If not, start. Say, Lord, show me. Who should I pray for? Maybe you should pray for your own self first. Put yourself on that list. He said, I began to pray for 5 individuals. I prayed every day without a single intermission, whether I was sick or in health, on land or sea, whatever the pressure of my engagements might be. 18 months elapsed. Can you imagine praying every day for a year and a half? But it gets better. Listen. 18 months elapsed before the first of the 5 were converted. I thanked God and I prayed on for the others. 5 years passed. Now remember, whether he was sick or wherever he was, every day he was praying for these people. They were that important to him. 5 years lapsed, and then the second was converted. I thanked God for the second and prayed on for the other 3. Day by day, I continued to pray for them, and 6 years passed before the third was converted. Wow, this guy is just really there for the Lord to pray for his friends. I thank God, he goes on to say, for the 3, and went on praying for the other 2. 36 years later, 36 years later, he wrote that the other 2 sons of one of Mueller's friends were still not converted. Did he give up hope? He wrote, but I hope in God, I pray on, I look for the answer. They are not yet converted, but they will be. Now that's definitely living a life without limits. No limits, I should say. In 1897, 52 years after he began praying for those 2 men were finally converted after he had died. I think his prayers followed after him, didn't they? Whatever you're facing, don't give up, because God doesn't give up. He's just waiting to open those windows and say, okay, you ready? I'm ready to pour it out. We need to trust God that he loves us. Obviously, he gave us his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. And he will pour out all heaven for us, for our friends, for our family. Don't give up. We're too close to the finish line. Keep praying on. Keep trusting in the Lord. Let him build your faith up. I'm thankful for God's word. It just excites me that God loves me this much, that he gave me his only begotten son, that he has unlimited resources for my life. And so let's live unlimited lives for the Lord, shall we?